Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off the next couple of days. Be back with me on Wednesday. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. And look, this should be a fascinating couple of days. I've loved all the action over the weekend as far as the trades being made around the sport of Major League Baseball. It's been fun. You know, a lot of times you don't get that much action right up until the day of or, you know, right before the deadline. So we've seen some moves being made, obviously, by both the Mets and the Yankees. But there have to be big moves out there to be made for these clubs. We know where the Yankees are at. It's just a matter of now who they're going to target, and will they go that far to get what they need to put the finishing touches on what should be a World Series caliber roster? I mean, you've seen the difference with the Yankees. When their lineup is going well, it looks like they can't get, you can't get them out. Now, I still won't trust them until I actually see them do it in the postseason because I've seen too much bad. Like, it's great that Verdugo's going now. It's great that Glaber's going now. Austin Wells looks legit, and the fact that he's overcome a very slow start, that makes me believe he could be more of an impactful bat. But I'd still also, I think Cora's an idiot. I don't care that everybody says he's a great manager. I think he's an idiot for pitching Aaron Judge as much as he did. And you could even say, well, Sal, he's up with guys on all the time. Yeah, well, that's part of his staff's problem. Like, you can't be walking guys in front of Aaron Judge, number one. Number two, I don't care if it's first and second. I don't care if it's first and third. Pitch around Aaron Judge. If you throw him a strike, he is going to make you pay the majority of the time. So I just prefer to get beat elsewhere. The Red Sox didn't do that. But the point is, when the Yankees offense is clicking, it looks as dominant of an offense as I've ever seen because you just feel like there's no way Soto and Judge won't get the job done. Now, for 2 months, just those two guys couldn't carry him. So it's obviously more than that. Getting Stanton back tonight, I really get the feeling now the Yankees are going to start to turn a corner a little bit and right the ship here. Who knows what it could end up with, a division win, certainly a postseason spot. But ultimately, and regardless of who they add at the deadline, and you're assuming they will, but I'm also assuming they're not going to go all in. Cashman is, I'm just going based off the track record. They're not going to take on more money, I wouldn't think, with Hal always referencing the luxury tax threshold. And I don't believe ultimately they're going to give up the top guys like Spencer Jones or Dominguez. So we'll see what they end up with. But ultimately, even if they do make great additions and perform well from now throughout the course of the rest of the regular season, we need to see them prove it in the postseason. I know what Soto could do in the postseason. I still haven't seen Judge dominate in the postseason. Maybe this will be the year that he finally breaks through. And everybody else in that lineup. And the Yankees could get themselves, to the World Series. It's not even just the lineup. It's the same thing. Rodon looked as nasty as can be last night. And that's the problem with him. It's the one thing I can't stand. Inconsistency. Well, why are you so down on Rodon, Sal? Well, because he could be an ace at times, but other times he looks like he shouldn't be in the big leagues. So which one is it? Pick a lane. Boone likes bowling. He likes lanes. Pick a lane. If you knew Rodon was going to be this, and I don't expect it every time out, but you know what I'm talking about. If this was Rodon the majority of time, you'd feel great about the Yankees. Get Cole back on track. You got Rodon. You'd be good to go. I don't trust Stroman. Certainly not in the big spot. You saw him on Friday night. I don't trust Rodon. He was great yesterday. I don't believe he'll do that moving forward. I certainly don't think he'll be that in the postseason. Doesn't mean he can't be, but I just wouldn't trust that. Cortez battles, but is that a guy you're going to trust? You got to get Clark Schmidt back. Sure, Luis Hill I love and do trust him. But are the Yankees going to move him to the pen? Where are we at with the innings limit or the fatigue? There's still question marks there. And then the bullpen, I just don't trust at all. Holmes could be nasty. He was an all-star. I understand what he brings. I also don't trust him. I don't trust the defense of the Yankees. There are a lot of issues the Yankees have. And they didn't go away just because they won the two games in Boston and clobbered the Red Sox with their bats. That's going to happen at some point. Will it carry them through the postseason? That's the biggest question. Gary's calling from Monroe. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks, Sal, for taking my call. I want to talk about, I called up last week and I was saying about Boone that you gotta stop platooning the catches. Leave Wells in. Wells is such a good ball player. Now he's starting to show it because now he's getting his at bat. And then I said, give Volpe a rest because Volpe played every game in his hot sun. Now he's starting, give him a couple of days. The All-Star break came. Now he's starting to perform a little bit better now. And now the key to this Yankee lineup, I think, or this Yankee team is getting Clark Schmidt back. Because when he was there, it was like you have that five starters. So you were able to, like, bend a little with them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. And they still, to me, would need. Now, look, if Cole, and thank you for the call, Gary. I'm expecting Gerrit Cole to be not maybe the best version of himself, but much better than what we've seen against the Mets. I believe Cole will be fine. I want to know who's going to be that number two guy. Is it going to be Luis Gil? Is it going to be somebody else from the outside? Are they going to rely on Carlos Rodon? I don't think Clark Schmidt is that. I think Schmidt could stabilize the rotation and help out. I don't think he's that number two guy in the postseason. Let's just play it out hypothetically. Why not have some fun with it? Yankees make the postseason division round. They win the division. They get a bye. So they're in their first round in the division series. Gerrit Cole pitches game one, lights out, dominates. They beat the Orioles 6-1. Who's starting game two? And whoever it is, do you ultimately trust him? Okay, Luis Gil starts game two. Gil goes five innings. Do you trust the bullpen to get the job done? Or is it Carlos Rodon who starts game two? Do you trust him? I mean, you could certainly see how we've seen both the great and the god-awful with the Yankees. So which one are we going to get? And it could be game to game in the postseason. Is Aaron Judge going to be the force to be reckoned with, or is he going to struggle and put, you know, a little pressure on himself or against the best pitching? I think this will be an interesting test tonight for the Yankees. Lineup is obviously red hot. They got Zach Wheeler. You're going to get Zach Wheeler tonight with the Phils. This should be an interesting test. And the Phillies have been struggling as of late. You know, maybe we could learn a little something about them right now when facing a top pitcher. But that's what you're going to be seeing in the postseason. So what's that lineup going to be? I just think there have been too many inconsistencies with the Yankees to fully trust them until we see it. And that includes the front office for tomorrow, or tonight, tomorrow, whenever they make a trade ahead of the deadline at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Too many inconsistencies. Talk a big game. They've made some moves, but they've yet to go over the top all in. Soto was a great move. Nobody would knock that. Great addition. It wasn't enough, clearly, because they need more. And Jazz is not enough. So what's next? And will the Yankees do what it takes? You're seeing other teams pay the steep prices. A lot of other teams are in it. This is not, you know, it used to just be all the Yankees get whoever they want. The Yankees go get the best players. That's how it used to be all the time. Teams would go to the Yankees. All right, take on this salary. You take on this player. We'll get these prospects back. That's what it was all the time. Now it's everybody's making moves. And the Yankees are like, I don't know if I have the appetite for that caliber move. Larry is calling from East Islip. What's up, Larry?
Sal, how are you, my brother?
How are you, Larry?
Good, good. Listen, I have a couple of quick points. Sal, you're way ahead of the speedboat right now with the Mets. All year, they struggled in the beginning. Lately, the lineup is great. The starting pitching has been solid all year. It's not been great, not been terrible. It's been solid.
Right.
We needed help in the bullpen. Our lineup, listen, we beat the Braves, Scotty, all night when they put the stud out. We beat Cole, I'm not worried about the lineup. I'm worried about the bullpen. You know that all our guys, all they do is go five innings. I want bullpen help. You're screaming about starting pitching. I want a sustained team. Isn't it fun right now? We're having a great year.
Yes.
I want this every year. I want it every year. So I don't want to trade the farm. We need a stud closing? 100% I'm with you. Give me the stud closer. Then I'll take my shot with the pitcher. Right, but I'm not trading everybody.
No, no. Well, nobody said trade everybody. I'm trying
to. You know what I'm saying, Sal. You get a top guy. I do. You got to give some.
Well, but you don't have to give everybody. You do have to give something, though.
No, but you're going to give a stud.
Okay.
You get a stud. You got to give three stud prospects.
Or,
you know that.
Or you have to
take on the contract.
Okay. So why can't they do that?
all day. I'm waiting for
Larry, I'm with you as far as prioritizing the bullpen. Now, they added Stanek, and maybe he'll be fine. Who knows? Obviously, he was awful yesterday in his debut.
Listen, good 1 year, bad 1 year.
Exactly. That's why I wanted the guy Estevez from the Angels, and the Phillies got him. Just like 2 years ago, I wanted Iglesias from the Angels, but the Braves got him. The Mets need need a no doubt about it, Larry. Good call. They need a no doubt about it bullpen arm. Stanek could be the second arm that they add, or third arm if you talk about Maton. They need a no doubt about it legitimate lights out bullpen arm. Then you'd be talking about Diaz with whatever that arm is. It should have been Estevez or whatever. That would be the guy that I want. Maton, Stanek, and the others that they have there. You can live with that. But I'm with you. Prioritizing bullpen, especially because the starters have been solid and they're not going to give you much length. You want a lights out bullpen. Wherever you turn for those, you know, 3-4 guys that you're going to need to finish off the game, they should be lights out. Now, ultimately, the Mets are going to win with their bats. That's just how it's going to be. Because even the best bullpen is going to give up a couple of runs. So they're going to have to win with their bats being the primary factor, which is fine. Their lineup should be okay. It's in a little bit of a rut right now. But ultimately, if their guys don't hit, Nimmo, Alonso, J.D. Martinez, Alvarez, they're not going to win. Winker was a nice addition. Stanek was fine. Adding a major league arm with some potential in their bullpen. They need more. And the reason why I'm talking about a top-end starter, I'm trying to put them over the top. Like, if you want to just get to the postseason and roll the dice, sure. Add another bullpen arm. A lights-out bullpen arm, but add another bullpen arm. If you want to be put over the top as far as saying, hey, there are no limitations on this team, you have to add the top starter in addition. And there shouldn't be an excuse or a reason as to why the Mets can't do that. They can. It's just a matter of which one they can target and get and what they're willing to either give up or take on to do so. I gave you three options. Snell, Skubal. And by the way, Skubal should be something that, like, that's really the target. Because that doesn't only help you now. He helps you in the future. Snell, it's a roll of the dice this year, so I would assume he'd be cheaper. Flaherty is a rental, one-year rental. So, all right, Flaherty, fine. It's going to be a steep price for a one-year rental. Snell, all right, fine. I would think the price is less significant for him because of the year that he's had and because of the money maybe that you're taking on with it. Skubal, the price will be through the roof, but you're getting what you pay for. Like anything in life, you get what you pay for. Are they going all in or not? Skubal's not a rental. So you're telling me you wouldn't give up some of the top prospects for him? Why not? You have any idea what those prospects are going to turn out to be? You think all the Mets' top 10 prospects in their farm system are going to turn out to be great? Let's say to get Skubal, it takes two top 10 and you take on a bad contract. And Beatty. Beatty, two top 10 prospects, one pitcher, one other position player, and you take on some money. Now, that's offering a lot right there as far as I'm concerned. You don't think Detroit would do that? Yeah, maybe they have a better offer, sure. But the Mets better be in the conversation. It should. I want you to tell me this. Why can't the Mets be in that conversation? What are you worried about with the farm? Oh, they're not going to give up all 10 guys. They're not going to give up all top 5 prospects. One or two of them. They're not all going to hit. Pick the right one or two and trade them. You remember, to get Cespedes, the Mets had to give up Michael Fulmer. They traded for a rental bat and gave up a young arm, stud arm, with potential, with years of control. Now, Fulmer had some ups and downs, obviously, but you get the point. You got to give to get. Oh, wait, what? We can't touch the farm system now? You have a chance to make this team legit and become a team that has no ceiling. I hate even saying World Series because it sounds nuts at this particular point, but who's to say that they couldn't, based off of what the Phillies and Diamondbacks have done in the last couple of years? They could. You get to the postseason, anything's possible. But in the postseason, they're going to need a horse atop that rotation. Certainly a bullpen arm. So go get it. They've been not on the cheap right now, adding Winker and Maton and Stanek, but they've upgraded their team without a major move. To get them to the next level, it's going to take a major move. That's going all in. That's acting like a king when we say King Cohen. We'll find out come Wednesday. Alex is calling from Bernardsville. What's up, Alan? Oh, Alex? Alex, you there? I guess not. Aaron is calling from Hackensack. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call, man.
How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad.
So I wanted to ask, do you think, who would you rather package for Gleyber Torres? Would you use Gleyber to get Luis Renjifo, or would you use Gleyber to get a quality starting, sorry, not a starting one, but a quality closer?
I'd probably go after the bullpen arm, Aaron, and thank you for the call. You know, see, that would be interesting to me, where we've talked about this, B10 and I talk about this going back to last year, where the Yankees needed to move on from Gleyber Torres. And it's, well, I was going to say it's not a knock on Gleyber, but it actually is a direct knock on Gleyber Torres. You want to move on from, while you know he's got the potential, specifically with the bat, to be an impact bat in that lineup, especially at second base, he's just not a winning player and hasn't been. And the fact that he would even say, I'm a second baseman, that's all I play, that shows you all you need to know about Gleyber Torres. I'm not saying that he's the only one that would say that, but at least in front of the camera, lie. And say, you know what, I'm open for what the team's doing. I obviously prefer to play second base, but I'm open to having the conversation. He just flat out said, I'm not a third baseman. I play second base. That's what I do. Well, then how about you actually play second base, Gleyber? How about you play it and not hit 230? Like, it's nice to see you wake up now after the All-Star break. That's great, but where were you the first half of the season? And how about you don't have your head up your rear end defensively? He's made too many bad plays. So point is, I would look to move him. And now you could move Jazz in there nicely and add a bullpen arm, if you could. What's the return value for Gleyber Torres even? I mean, maybe somebody would take a chance on him, but is there that much value if you move on from Gleyber Torres? And I'm sure that's what the Yankees weighed, not only in the offseason, but in season if they thought about it. All right, well, here's what we could get back. Is it worth taking his potential off this team for whatever we get back? To me, the answer would be yes, just because I think he is a negative for them in the long haul. I'd rather have a guy that plays the position better and is more sound and less offensive potential than Gleyber, but just more sound all-around ball player. But that's just me. Eric is calling from Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, how we doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, Eric?
I'm well, thank you. I don't know if you've done a wellness check on Frank the Tank.
Yeah, I'm all right, Eric. Evan just hit me in the head with a giveaway, Mercury Mets jersey, and I love this. Thank you, Evan. He just came into the studio. And you come. I actually do love this. Thank you very much. I was thinking about it. I'm doing the show here. I'm trying to talk to Eric, and something comes flying and hits me in the head.
I thought you would like that.
I appreciate this very much. You couldn't have left it on my desk.
I thought you were at break. I figured out. Let me see if you have quick reflexes.
I was worried that you were mad at me, too.
I'm not mad. Listen, let me tell you something. I saw your tweet. I was at the game with my family.
Right.
And I wasn't even checking Twitter, but I happened to check.
Yeah.
And I laughed. Now, I didn't hear the show during the day. I took it as a joke. Now, what happened as soon as that tweet was fired was hell. And I don't blame you for it. I actually thought it was funny, but I got to tell you, getting a lot of heat.
I understand. I understand, but thank you for this.
I'm on your side if that means anything.
It does mean something. Okay. I mean, for goodness, I thought it was an obvious joke.
I laughed at it. I explained it to my son. I was like, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
Because I was telling you, I was explaining everything to my son. He asked me why they were chanting mean things at Marcelo Zuna. Imagine telling a seven-year-old.
Which is more difficult, explaining that to him or Frank the Tank?
It was complicated. But I thought it was funny. It's just it was terrible timing. I mean, listen, obviously everything went horrible since you tweeted it.
Terrible timing. The Mets were at their apex.
But then Senga gets hurt.
I understand, but do you really think I had the...
I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying...
It's their fault. They can't help me out for once. For goodness sake, can they do me a freaking favor? They go into the tank as soon as I tweet that and get behind them?
You know what the problem was? And listen, I don't think you did anything wrong, but I think that most people who saw it thought you were being serious.
You
almost needed to add hey... LOL,
right.
Or JK or whatever.
Right.
I knew you were joking because I guess maybe because I know you, because I've heard you.
Well, the fact that common sense, the Mets to that point were still behind the Braves. How could it be over? You know what I'm saying? It was different a couple years ago.
But understand something. And again, I'm on your side. I'm only one voice. Yeah. What can I do? If this season goes in the tank,
I know,
it's going to be your fault. Understand that. I'm not saying I'm going to blame you. I'm not saying Hoff's going to blame you, but the reality is most Met fans are going to say it's Salikov.
Right, so it's right. It's not going to be Tyler McGill or David Peterson or the third base coach.
No, I know, I know.
It's going to be me.
I understand.
So they, when they win, it's because of Grimace. When they lose, it's because of me.
That is correct, yes.
Thank you for this
You're
jersey.
Welcome.
This is awesome. Seriously, I was eyeing this one, so I appreciate that. A little Mercury Mets. Thanks, Ev. All right, sorry, Eric. Let's get back to the call there. Eric is in Riverdale. Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Sal, what's going on, man? I can always take second fiddle to Evan. He's coming in there for you because, yeah, I felt for you, dude. I really did. I mean, I know what it's like with the social media trolls, and clearly it was a joke. Anybody that knows you or listens, it was a joke, and I thought it was actually quite funny. And then to see him, you know, go out and get their teeth kicked in, and, 19-2 over two games and Senga going down, I was like, oh, man, this is brutal.
I'm going to have to do something about this if they continue to lose. I can't take it. I mean, I'm begging for a win tonight.
Man.
Regular season in July, I'm just begging. Just get a freaking win. Go win 2 out of 3 from Minnesota so we can all move on here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I wanted to talk real quick on the Yanks because, I mean, your topic here and the point is absolutely spot on. And I agree. Yeah, the Yanks and Mets are absolutely in the same place. You know, the Yankees probably even you know, probably more aggressive, you know, here at the trade deadline. And I don't know if you read it yesterday, but Sherman had a great piece. And the numbers actually are crazy for both Judge and Soto right now. I mean, Judge's OPS is over 213, which is just absurd. And you've got Soto at one, you know, just about 190 OPS. So point being, it's like these guys are in their prime. You can't waste it. So cash has to go out and do stuff. And to me, like, I know the Yankees and Cash are always hesitant to get rid of our prospects, but Spencer Jones has to be on the table to me, particularly if you're going after guys like Crochet or Snell. But it looks like it's even the case for Fairbanks or Tanner Scott. I mean, those bullpen arms, like, I mean, what Philly gave away for what is kind of a mediocre bullpen arm is insane. So that being the case, like, to me, like, you just, like, if you're the Yanks, if you're Cash, you've got to do whatever it takes. I am really hard-pressed to put Dominguez in anything, but get creative. I think guys like Ben Rice, Gleyber Torres is another great one to package in with somebody like Spencer Jones for a Snell, or maybe it's Fairbanks or Tanner Scott. But to me, I think Tanner Scott's probably out now, considering that he wasn't included in the trade with the Marlins, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't feel good about that one. But.
I think you're right, though, Eric, and thank you for the call. Okay, great. And that's kind of why I started the show the way that I did. We're seeing the reports now. Oh, well, prices are steep and teams can't believe they're shocked by the the sticker prices for these relievers or starters. Hey, whatever the cost is, it is. You want it or not. And now if you can't afford it, you know, you go to the store. Yeah, I really want that, you know, whatever it may be, and you can't afford it. Okay, fine. But the Mets and Yankees can afford whatever it is that's out there. Will they have the best offer? All right, maybe not. If you get beat, fine. But they could get whatever's out there. Let's just say Tanner Scott. Both the Mets and Yankees could get Tanner Scott. You have to figure out ways to do it. What are you going to be willing to give up? What are you going to be willing to take on? But they could do it. You have to go for it. Now, I wouldn't want to give up Dominguez if I'm the Yanks. You'd have to draw the line somewhere. I don't know if there's something out there that's worth it to give up Jason Dominguez. And I'm sure there are certain guys in the Mets farm system that they feel are untouchable. That's great. Trade from the touchables. Not all top 10 guys are untouchable. Now, maybe the other team wants your untouchables. Hey, you have to figure it out then. But are we going all in or not? Are we going to wait till next year and wait for the future? Like, come on now. There's a fine line. There's a fine way to balance it. And that's on them. That's their job. That's why Cashman, that's why Stearns, that's why they get paid the big bucks. You can't just sit back and wait for all these prospects to come up and perform. We've seen it a million times. They don't all pan out. It's their job to pick the right ones to move for the right players to add now to help your team get over the top, to go out there and win a World Series.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up. He's going to do it. At shortstop, Jeter. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
NYC is taking over the Javits Center from August 16th through August 18th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets and be part of the first-ever immersive sports fan festival at Fanatics Fest. This from our friends at Fanatics Live. Visit fanaticsfest.com for the full athletic lineup. We're going to be out there doing our show from there. Cannot wait. That's going to be fun. The list of people that are out there, I mean, my goodness, it's going to be insane. Something that if I were a kid, I'd love to be able to go for that and get immersed in that for a couple of days over the course of the weekend. So BT and I will be out there. Evan and Teak will be doing their show from there as well. 888-808-1019, the number to call. And really, you know, with each minute passing here, the clock is ticking on both the Mets and Yankees to make big moves here ahead of the deadline. What's it going to take? Who knows? But we know what the teams need, and anything should be possible, especially from the Mets' perspective. Like, the Yankees, we almost expect it to a certain level, but it's always a certain level. Like, instead of Luis Castillo, it's Frankie Montas. And the Yankees go, you know, to plan B or plan C when things get too rich. Just go get Tanner Scott. End of story. Go get the top reliever out there. Or add Fairbanks, I guess, and Diaz. Like, go make a blockbuster trade. We've seen this happen before with plenty of teams. Same thing with the Mets. Go get, you know, the reason why I think it's possible for the Mets is because they could take on salary. Like, taking on Maton's contract or trading for Stanek, yeah, that's one thing. I'm talking about taking on swallowing a tough pill in a bad contract to get a good player. And why not a great player in Skubal, for example? He's the guy to get. Flaherty, one-year rental, whatever. Skubal's the guy you want to get. A young pitcher that's under control to put at the top of your rotation. Like, the Mets need that anyway. You need that anyway. So there can be no excuse about, oh, it's not a fit now. We don't believe this is the team. No, you need that anyway. So I would be, if I'm Steve Cohen and Stearns, doing whatever I can in my power to make that happen. He's the most desired, just like they did with Yamamoto. Now, with Yamamoto, it was only money. With Skubal, it could be more than that. But if I guarantee you, if you went to them and said, I'll take Baez's bad contract off your hands, what else do you want? Beatty? Plus, I'll take the bad contract, plus I'll give you one top 10 prospect. You don't think that's enough? All right, what is it going to take? Two top 10 prospects? Fine, done, let's go. And now you get yourself a young, at least under control for now, top of the rotation starter that's going to help you now and beyond. And you cut Javi Baez. It's only money. And the Mets got plenty of money coming off the books next year. Now, I'm not trying to go nuts with Steve Cohen's money, obviously, but he's talked about it before. That's a move. That's similar to what he did last year, paying Verlander and Scherzer to go away, buying prospects. You could buy Skubal. Go take Javi Baez's contract. I'd rather do that than go all in for, you know, Blake Snell or Flaherty even. Now, I would take the other guys, and I think anything less than one of those three, the Mets have not gone all in. Jazz is not all in for the Yankees either. Both these teams have moves. You know, they've made some nice moves here, upgrades a little bit. But they've got moves to be made before Tuesday's deadline. Tom is in Cold Spring, New York. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, Tom.
Love
how are you?
Love your work, and I agree with your take on many things. Okay, so long list. Glaber, I can't agree with you more. He's maddening, okay? Drives me crazy. Don't trust him in the playoffs, whatever. However, okay, I'm going to take Glaber's side just for a second. First, last year, you remember, he was probably one of the Yankees, if not, besides Judge, the best hitters on the team. So I really feel, I don't feel he has any trade value. He's a free agent. What are you going to get for him?
Yeah, probably nothing, right?
Okay, right. So, leave him at second. I love what you said. He's not a team player. Lie. Say you play third. Well, Yankees jerked him around once and tried to make him a shortstop. It would be just as bad trying to make him a third baseman. And maybe he's like, you know, right? So, Jazz is athletic enough to play third, I think. I'm a little nervous about it. You're putting the guy in the third base.
Yeah, well, it's not ideal. I mean, that's the thing about this move. It's not an ideal fit. Like, is he an upgrade? Right. Sure, but where's he going to play? Like, usually you trade for guys, I don't know, I mean, this is just crazy, and it's just me, and I know I'm a radio host, not a GM, but usually you trade for guys based off of positions of need. I mean, what are the Yankees?
Yeah,
we bring him in here, but we don't know where he's going to play. We'll figure it out. Okay, fine.
Right, right. No, so I agree with you there, but it's done, so let's try to figure out a way to... We need him at third, right?
Agreed.
We got Dominguez in the outfield, and we got Stanton. There's a glut, right? So I'm not going to say the Yankees lineup is going to be perfect, but it's pretty darn good if Gleyber continues to hit and we don't mess with his head.
Yeah, but those are, Tom, now you nailed the biggest point. You're right.
Uh-huh.
If Gleyber continues to hit. So a week ago, everybody was saying the Yankees need like two major bats to change the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
The reality always was the Yankees need the guys there to start getting the job done. Gleyber, Verdugo, Austin Wells, those guys have been the difference in the two-game or three-game turnaround for the Yankees with the bats as far as their performance at Fenway.
Okay, so here's one point that I love to make. Once you display a skill, you own it, right? So, Gleyber, can he do it? I think he can. I think that the Yankees, when they were 50-22... clearly, this is pretty much the same team except a couple of injuries. People were going crazy when they and look, this doesn't make me feel good. This skid. They were the worst team other than the White Sox. Okay, so I don't disagree, but we can't panic. All right, I think that I like what we've done. I think, like you've been saying, we need arms. I think in order, I think it should be Blake Snell number one. Skubal, I think, he's perfect for the Mets.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to cost too much for the Yankees, right?
That's exactly right. You're exactly right, Tom. Yankees don't need him. The Mets could use him more so.
The Mets could use him more so. I don't think Flaherty, I don't know. Eric Fetty, I kind of like him, right? But I think Snell is a proven playoff guy. The Yankees should go all in for Snell. And you know what? I think we also need a bullpen, like no doubter, you know, miss bats kind of arm. But no bullpen guy is like can't miss, right?
They're so fickle. No, I know. It's so fickle year to year, Tom. And thank you for the call. You know, the expectations for the Yankees, specifically with BT, because he was saying, oh, they need major trades. All right, yeah, Jazz is great. I saw him tweet over the weekend. He'll be back Wednesday with me. But Jazz is great, but they need a lot more. And specifically, people were talking about the lineup. I don't think you're going to get anything more significant in the lineup. I think Jazz was the move. Now, could I be wrong? Sure. But I believe Jazz was the move for their lineup. And now they're focusing more on the bullpen, which I agree is a bigger need, which gets back to the point that all along, the way the Yankees are going to get this turned around, this is not something that could be fixed at the trade deadline. It has to be fixed from within. The guys there have to be able to do their jobs. So they eliminated one now with LeMahieu, which is good because LeMahieu shouldn't be in the big leagues. And they finally cut J.D. Davis, who also shouldn't be in the big leagues. But they've got guys contributing now that they didn't have before. Whether it's Austin Wells being more legit. And by the way, it's easier, I guess, against right-handers, which they saw all three games in Fenway, than against the lefties because their lefty lineup was pathetic. But against right-handers, you saw Austin Wells. You've seen now Verdugo starting to get it going. You know, Volpe's been better out of the second half. And obviously, Gleyber Torres has been a difference maker. Those aren't the trades. So it had to be from within. Where the Yankees need to go big as far as the rest of the trade deadline is with the arms. Specifically, one more lockdown arm that can miss some bats in the bullpen that I would like to close and then move Clay Holmes to the eighth inning. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but one arm to pair with Holmes, 8-9, and then probably another starter. But they don't need a top starter. Would I be opposed to the Yankees bringing in Flaherty or Snell? I would not. I think those would be moves that you could say, all right, they're loaded up now, ready to go. One legit bullpen arm and number two or three starter. Which is very similar to all the other teams' needs, including the Mets. Mets need a number one starter and a top-end bullpen arm, which is why the prices are very steep. So who's going to pay the price? Time to pay the piper. Who's going to do it?
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Vacana back on the fan. BT off today and tomorrow. We'll be back together on Wednesday. I was just looking over the Yankees' projected or potential starting lineup after the Jazz Chisholm trade. And I guess this is according to MLB Network. We could just come up with our own, but let's just use theirs for fun here. So Verdugo obviously having some success in the leadoff spot. Now, here's the issue with that. He was also having some success as the cleanup hitter for a majority of the season until he went ice cold for 7 weeks. Like, not 7 games, not 2 weeks, 3, 7 weeks. So I don't know how you could just trust that all of a sudden that after 2, 3 games, oh, Verdugo's back. Yeah, maybe he's hot right now, but who knows what's around the corner. Now, here's the saving grace. But let's play this out, and then I'll get to the saving grace. Verdugo leading off, Soto 2, Judge 3, Giancarlo back, and hopefully we have an official Yankee lineup, although I don't know if we'll have it before we say goodbye at 2 o'clock. But Giancarlo back in there at DH, he's hitting 4th. Now you have Austin Wells, the lefty now protecting him, hitting 5th, who he's been going. Jazz batting 6th, Glaber 7, Rice 8, and Volpe 9. The saving grace would be that if Giancarlo can't get the job done or Verdugo can't get the job done, you obviously could bring up Dominguez at any point, assuming that he can contribute. So at least you have a bullet still in the holster that you can fire there. That's not a bad lineup now. Right now, it's not a bad lineup because Verdugo looks pretty good. You're envisioning the best of Stanton when he comes back, although you know what's going to happen with him. It'll take him 3 weeks to get going. Then he'll go on an incredible tear for 2 or 3 weeks, and then he'll get hurt again. But that's what I'm saying. At least you have Dominguez ready to be deployed there. But Wells has been a difference maker. Austin Wells' emergence has been a game changer in the Yankees lineup. And even Ben Rice, who gives quality at-bats. I don't care about the average. Just Rice looks like he has an idea. He has a plan up there. Puts the bat on the ball. It gives you a chance. Ben Rice at least gives you a chance. You could live with Volpe being 9th because he's kind of, that second leadoff hitter setting the table, and the pressure is off him at the bottom of the order. So this is not a bad lineup. Now, you got to get Jazz to contribute. You got to get Stanton back and ready to contribute. And Verdugo has got to maintain his, success out of the leadoff spot. Can those things happen? The point is, it's still from within. Like, the only addition the Yankees made to their lineup was trading for Jazz Chisholm. And a lot of people thought that they were going to need a lot more than that. Now, maybe they make another move. Maybe they upgrade at first base and you eliminate Rice from the equation. Maybe they go get another third baseman or a third baseman and move Jazz to second. They trade Gleyber Torres. I don't think that those things are going to happen. I bet that, especially with the prices being that what they are, the only move the Yankees would make would be to their bench, to try to upgrade their bench. I bet that you're looking at this pretty much being the primary starting lineup for them. Is that going to be enough? I just can't say that it is. I don't think that it is. I love Soto and Judge as much as anybody else, and when the other guys pose a threat, whether it's Stanton, Verdugo, Glaber, Wells, potentially Jazz here, it on paper looks great. I'm just not buying it. I could see the same thing that we saw to start the year, the first 5, 6 games of the year, then opening day, or the first 2 months of the year, then the last 2 months of the year. You could see that happening in a postseason series. I just don't trust that Yankee lineup. They're going to have to prove it before I believe in them. Fred is calling from Clinton, Connecticut. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, how you doing? Sal, I'm happy to hear your voice because I talked to you about 2 weeks ago when I called in as a Red Sox fan asking if the Yankee fans were worried about the Red Sox. And I kind of got lambasted saying, no, we're not worried about you guys. You got nothing. I thought those first 2 games were almost like the old Yankee Red Sox tussles.
They
were.
Where
you could see almost anything.
They were. Back and forth, lots of runs being scored, great environment, great intensity. I loved watching both those 2 games.
And I just think the Red Sox are in the same place the Yankees and Mets are. They need that one right-handed bat that's solid. And a bullpen piece or two because they lost 2 bullpen pieces.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
the Red Sox are. I don't think the Red Sox are good enough, Fred. And thank you for the call. I think they had an opportunity and they let it slip away. Tyler O'Neill, I know he could hit, obviously, with a couple of home runs that he had on Saturday. Guy's a butcher in the field, an absolute butcher in the field. Like, everybody's talking about Trent Grisham. Yeah, it's great that Grisham put the bat on the ball. You got to catch that. Like, this is the major leagues. What's the guy doing out there? Not to mention the gaffes that he had earlier, where his home runs had to make up for it. But point is, and I'm not just picking on him. I'm just giving you an example of what happened throughout the course of the series. They don't have any pitching, period. And the Yankees mashed them. The Yankees, who were ice cold, who got shut down by the Mets, had they couldn't get the Yankees out. So I just don't think the Red Sox are there. I think they're scrappy. I think they could you know, maybe battle for a wild card spot. They're not on the Yankees level. Like, when you start to think about a threat to the Yankees, I do not think that the Red Sox are that. Where I did think that that was possible going into the series, but I thought they missed an opportunity. Boston missed an opportunity. I wouldn't go nuts if I'm the Red Sox trying to upgrade. They could be a wild card team. They're not catching the Yankees. The Yankees did what they had to do, staving them off. I mean, look, there was a chance the Yankees lost 2 of 3 or even got swept. And then all of a sudden, it'd be like, hey, the Yankees postseason spot is going to be in danger here. But they did what they had to do. The bats came alive in a big way, and they won 2 out of 3. The furthest thing from my mind as a Yankee fan would be the Red Sox right now. Jim is calling from Bridgewater. What's up, Jimmy?
Josh, it's Tim.
Oh, Tim. Okay, what's up, Tim?
Hey. Is this Sal?
This is Sal, yes.
Hey, how are you, bud?
How are you, Tim?
I'm good, yeah. So, as you know, I live in Bridgewater, where the Somerset Patriots play. And the only time I go there is when the Rebel Punnies show up. Yeah, and so I know you're talking about the trade line, and I've seen some of their prospects. Obviously, you don't need too many infielders, outfielders. You can only play certain players. But last year, they were in the playoffs against the Rebel Punnies and the Somerset Patriots. And I went to the one game because Tyler Stewart, who they traded for Jesse Winker, he won the first game. And then I saw Dominic Hamill pitch at Bridgewater. And he dominated the Patriots, including Ben Rice and other players. I think Anthony Volpe was still there. I don't remember.
I mean, but it's hard, Jim. Now, it's good that you go there and see him firsthand. It's hard, though, to take stock. And thank you for the call. You had a bad line there, so I just want to move on. But hard to take stock in any singular performance or any game that you're talking about. Now, it's good. You have a better eye than I do because I have not seen them play. I don't go to watch the minor league games. I barely go watch the major league games at this particular point. But obviously, you can see them on TV. I'm not watching the minor leagues on TV or streaming it. I'm not going to the games. So it's good that you have a firsthand account on some of the guys. But ultimately, what does that matter? We're judging them. Or the GMs are going to judge them off of what they've done throughout their minor league career and what they project to do moving forward when they think about trading these guys. What I can tell you is that I don't care who they are. There's no way that all. As a matter of fact, I had a former GM tell me, this is about a year ago. Former GM tell me that. Well, I mean, I'm trying to hold back the source here, but it would really help if I could say who it was. Anyway, point is that you hope that of all the people that you bring in, whether you trade for them, whether you draft, you hope and you expect that only a small percentage are going to hit. But let's say you trade for 5 prospects. You hope that one pans out to be an impactful player. So that's kind of the point, is that not all of them are going to pan out. That means that you don't need to hoard the prospects. You don't need to keep all of your top 10 guys. There's going to be some pain when you have to bring something in of value, have to give something up. So it's up to the Mets or the teams in this particular case. Could be the Yankees, the Mets, whoever it may be. Whoever's trading these Dodgers, same thing. Whoever's trading these prospects for big pieces at the deadline, it's up for them to make the right decisions on which ones to trade and which ones to have off limits. That's the difference. They're going to get some right. They're going to get some wrong. But those decisions, getting them right and wrong, that's the difference in building a winning team or not. Jordan is in Port Jeff. What's up, Jordan?
Sal, I've wanted to talk to you for a long time now, my friend.
How are you, Jordan?
Listen, you could say it's not your fault. Maybe it's not your fault. But you've been a Mets fan your whole life, no?
Yes.
Don't you? At some point, you have to learn your lesson, right? To just enjoy the ride. Why do you have to open your big mouth and put it out there and put the target right on the Mets' back every year?
Did I put the target on the Mets' back or my own back?
It's all of us. You just put the attention right on it, man.
Now hold on a second.
It's infuriating.
That is not fair. First of all, you really don't think
that's absolutely fair.
No, it's not. You said every year. Have you paid attention to my work? Meaning, like,
I listen to you every day from 10 to 2,
okay.
as much as it pains me,
okay.
I scream at the radio.
Well, we appreciate that very much. Do you think that I always back the Mets and am a rah-rah fanboy for the Mets, saying that they're going to be great every single time?
listen, you're absolutely a Mets fan. You do have some good takes, but
what do you think my takes are good or not?
We're a half game up, and you're declaring the wild card is over. Whether it's
Jordan, it was a joke.
You knew what was gonna happen.
They can't take. You can't take. No, I didn't.
That's all your fault, Sal. It's all your fault.
Thank you, Jordan. You can't take a joke. It's all my fault. Come on, you can't take a joke. That's my fault. You're not gonna blame Tyler McGill, who stinks. You're not going to blame David Peterson. You're not going to blame the bats. All of a sudden, Brandon Nimmo was making a push to become an all-star. Now that he didn't get that, he can't hit anymore? That's my fault? Come on, I'll rip the Mets left and right, whatever chance I could get. And when they're having fun and playing well, I'm going to call it how I see it. And in that particular case, when that tweet was sent, the Mets were at their apex of the year. Obviously, you knew it wasn't going to be able to be sustained, but in that moment where the place was in a frenzy, the Mets are about to overtake the Braves. By the way, for the record, I said it on the radio earlier in the day. So if I am, in fact, the jinx, and I said that on the radio, we have it on tape, that the Mets, you know, the NL wildcard race was over even when they were half game back, then what's your excuse for them winning Friday night and leapfrogging the Braves? So it doesn't really align, like the jinx being a real thing. I get it. You guys want to look to blame somebody? For some reason, you want to pick on me? That's fair. I mean, I could list a billion reasons why the Mets blew the division in 2022. I'm not one of them. I could list a billion reasons why the Mets have lost the last two games. The tweet that I sent out is not one of them. You want to make it that way? Makes you guys feel better? So be it. But I'm going to keep being me. I tweeted about the Yankees last night winning that game. Didn't seem to stop them. The Sal Mush or the Jinx. What happened? Yankees are too good for that? Don't blame me for having fun. Enjoy the ride. Stop being so angry.